And I remember that song growing up. It was, well, I don't want to give away my age, but I remember that song. It's a really good song. I'm glad you got that one. So thank you, everyone. Good morning to you. And Chambersburg congregation sends its greetings. If you hadn't seen me, and I know some of you haven't seen me, and we're asking, where's Richard? Well, I was down in Chambersburg helping out that congregation. So, and I do that on occasion. So whenever you don't see me, I'm not skipping church. I am about my Father's business, okay? So sometimes that means going to other congregations and helping them out. So, but then they send their greetings to you. I'd like to thank my wife this morning for putting up with all of this travel and all the things that we have to do. She's really a great support, and so I just want to publicly acknowledge her. Also, it's my in-laws are here today, Ken and Sarah Boyer. They came down to visit because it is Ken's birthday, so greet him. And I know he doesn't like, you know, me saying that because he's very shy, but I don't care. He's my father-in-law, and I'm proud of him, and he just turned, I think, 52, right? Yeah, the rest is just additional experience. So just give them the warmest greetings. They've been here before. I put this lesson together today because I wanted to kind of talk about something that I think is important to all of us, and that is the words we use, the things we say. You know, words are important. And so the title of the lesson is Bridle of the Tongue. I want to give you a story here. Take my glasses off because you can see I'm pretty old, so. Katie, she was church gossip and self-appointed arbiter of the church's morals. She kept sticking her nose in other members' business and their private lives. Church members were unappreciative of her activities, but they maintained their silence. She made a mistake, however. She accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup out in front of his pickup truck out in front of the only bar in the town. One afternoon, she commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. Uh-oh. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and just walked away. He didn't explain. He didn't defend or deny. He said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Katie's house and left it there all night. You know, rumors are worse than being robbed because gossip steals another person's dignity. The lesson that was read, or the passage that was read to your hearing, is James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You know, one of the things that we will have to deal with as we grow as a congregation is gossip. It's invariably, it will happen. One rule that I will give you that I live by and I try to honor every day of my spiritual life is I don't say anything about another person that I wouldn't say to their face. That is a philosophy that I live by, and I would encourage you to live by the same, because our words matter when we're talking about other people. If we're not saying something that's really nice and encouraging and uplifting, honoring that fellow brother or sister in Christ, then we are, in effect, gossiping. And that's something that we need to avoid. In this passage, you know, if anyone thinks he's religious, you know, we put out that face of Christianity to others out in the world, and even others that in various other denominations and whatnot, we put that out there. But then, if we don't use our words properly, we destroy our own credibility. That's very easy to do. We can destroy our credibility, and we destroy the opportunity to win a soul for Christ. That's something to remember. You know, the tongue has no bones. There are no bones in our tongues, but yet it's strong enough to break a heart. It has destroyed marriages. It has brought down nations. So the tongue is the most powerful thing we have in our arsenal for Christ. It is our offensive weapon of choice, if you will. It is something that we can use for good or we can use it for bad. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul talked about this is his second letter to the Corinthians. He talked about the quarreling and jealousy and anger and hostility that the congregation was going through, slander and gossip, conceit and disorder. You know, Paul in Romans 1:29 and 30 talked about gossipers and backbiters, whisperers, people who say things in the shadows, and then that word gets around. And we know what happens to a story once it's whispered. It starts out with one thing, and then by the time it's done, it's a mountain of misinformation. We can see that in today's news. We can see it in our daily reviews of things going on in the world, that words have truths. Not all the information is ever given to us. Likewise, we have to deal with that in the world. We should not have to deal with that in the church. So let's look at another passage where James talks about the tongue. He says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small little fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. We come to church and we bless our Father in heaven and we sing praises to his name. But then if we leave and we're speaking negatively about someone else, then we are not honoring our Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. You know, the first four verses deals metaphorically with horses and bits as well as ships and rudders, equating the tongue to, respectively, to a small device that controls a larger entity. Our tongues is really, it's the only way we communicate. We don't have mental, telepathy. We don't have that ability. Oh, God forbid if we could only, if we said what we actually thought. What would the world be like then? Oh my, I think we would be in a world of trouble, okay? So we should be thankful that we can moderate and control this entity as much as we want or as we can, but we need to be careful about it and think God gave us, what, two ears and one mouth that we may listen twice as much as we speak. You know, in verses 10 through 12, they provide those metaphorical examples of salt and water, fresh water flowing out of the same stream, which they can't do, and trees producing fruit for which they were not made. So, you know, again, James gives us some examples here, not only in chapter 1, but in chapter 3, of the dangers behind the tongue. So let's look at what some of the things the tongue can do. Jesus was falsely accused by a lying tongue. Okay? We already know that his entire prosecution was wrong. It was a wrong against Jewish law, and it was wrong against Roman law. But it all began with a lying tongue. Jesus was convicted and crucified by the words of those jealous of his deity. You know, all Jesus ever did was try to help people. That's all you will do in your lifetime is try to help people. But there will be some out there that will lie against you, that will tell stories against your character that you'll have to deal with. Christians throughout history have been persecuted as a result of words of deceit and hatred. And I did a, remember if I did a, that sermon on persecution, you know, once we became children of God, children of Christ, brothers of Christ, we will endure persecution throughout our lives. There will be people that will use their words against us. Every war that was ever started was by the utterance of a single word. And you have been injured by someone else's tongue, and you have injured someone by your tongue. We've all said something at some point in time in our lives, either out of anger or out of some form of distress, that we regret it later. When it happens, when you say something that you don't mean or you say it out of anger, you can't take those words back. But you can go back and ask for forgiveness. You can apologize. That makes us unique. It makes us special that we can go and do that. We can say, hey, you know what, brother, I'm sorry. I said that. You know what I said? It must have been a stupid moment. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? We can do that and be guaranteed that we'll get that forgiveness. In Psalms 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like swords, sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Life and death by the tongue. Proverbs 18:11, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You know, many of lives have been greatly affected by the tongue and persons with influence. You know, when you watch the news, when you watch current events and things that are happening out there, you listen carefully to what's being said. And if you listen carefully, know this, that there is an attempt to influence you, to manipulate your thinking, to make you think one thing as opposed to whatever the facts may reveal. In Matthew 12:36-37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, when we talked about lying and a lesson that I was participating in. I can't remember where it was. We're talking about, is it okay to ever lie, to ever tell a falsehood? And as we went through that scenario, we were talking about if it was okay, if it would save someone or help someone. You know, for example, the example that was given was if back in World War II, if the Gestapo came and banged on your door, do you have any Jews in here? And you did, would you lie and say that no, you didn't? Whether or not that was okay. I don't want to deviate and get into that too much, but keep in mind that there are ways to answer questions. There are times that we need to let God handle our affairs, and there are times when we need to not ever tell a lie. We should always be truthful as Christians. So life and death by the tongue. People are affected every day by the words of those with whom we interact. That's family, that's work, day to day. We know what happens with people in positions of authority and how they use their tongues to affect the lives of others, solely to the benefits of themselves or to exact vengeance upon someone for which they may have a grievance. Some of you may have been in situations, I know I have, where even an employer may say something that was completely untrue or directed something in a way that was disparaging. Some of you may have dealt with that as well. Family members, if they don't like you for whatever reason, they're mad about something you did many years ago, will betray you with their tongues, their lying tongues. These are things to look out for. You know, the tongue can only bring about good when it is under God's influence. No man can tame his own tongue. Taming of the tongue is not simply a matter of eloquence or tactical wordsmithing. All truth, even when spoken with seasoning, may still end up too spicy for some to handle. This comes when you're telling the truth. Sometimes you got to tell the truth to someone, and they ain't going to like how it's delivered. but you can try and make it so that they can accept what you're trying to say and that you are trying to help them. These are things that we will deal with every day of our lives and in every relationship. Not using the tongue can be as bad as using it. Not speaking up for injustice can be as bad as making a false claim against someone else. If you see something, you say something. You know, these are the things that we will have to deal with. God's word concerning the tongue, here's just a few passages here to meditate upon. 1 Peter 3:10 tells us, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." In Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. The mouth of a righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. These are all passages that pertain to how we need to live our lives and how we need to use our words with one another. You know, as we grow, we're going to encounter a lot of people, young and old, that are going to sometimes have a problem with somebody else or maybe even with you. Just make sure our speech is seasoned such that we always tell the truth, but that we always speak in a manner that is appropriate to our fellow brothers. In love, how about that? That's the bottom line. We need to speak in love. Truth in love is not always pleasant, but it is always true. And it is always, but always necessary. So keep watch. Watch your thoughts. Because your thoughts become words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. You will know them by their fruits. Watch your actions, because they become your habit. Watch your habits. They become your character. They become what defines you. Watch your character, because it will become your destiny. Make sense? So in conclusion, I leave you with this. Our words are our most valuable asset in life. Everything and anything we accomplish in this life is as a result of our words. Whether we get a new job, whether we negotiate a new deal on a house, a car, or what have you, a salary, we can build up or tear down with our words. Edify or destroy. Bring forth or push away with our words. Our ability to win souls to Christ depends on the power of our words, the things we say. The tone and timing of our words are just as important as their meaning. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, my father used to say, that used to say, when two people are yelling at each other, who can tell which one's the fool? You know, there's no reason to ever be arguing with one another. You can debate, you can negotiate, you can talk about, you can even become passionate. But don't yell. There's no reason for that. We must always speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. That's so hard sometimes. If you see a brother or a sister that has a problem and you have to confront it, there's a way to go to them with that. And speak to them in a manner that they will be accepting to. Never at the expense of credibility or political correctness. There's too much of that going around, in case you haven't noticed. Political correctness. You know, We are forthright people. Let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. Truth will sometimes hurt, or it might even incite anger. Truth is that way. Truth is like, you know what? Remember when we were growing up and you get a cut or a bruise or something? This is before we even knew about hydrogen peroxide. What did they put on those sores when you got, and when you were a kid, what happened? Mom would break out the what? That alcohol, right? And she would, and you knew it was coming. And and I stopped telling Mom I even got hurt. Because I didn't want to have that alcohol on that wound, and that would burn so like crazy. But truth is like that sometimes. It stings, but it is good for you. It's sometimes necessary to bring about, you know, healing, or in some cases, spiritually, repentance. So this is what the truth is about. This is what our words can do. Our words are so important. And I want you to think about this, too, as we have, as we're growing, as we have, you know, some elders coming into place now, we need to encourage these men. We need to build them up because they got their work cut out for them. We need to encourage them. We need to give them our support and lift them up. Do not let a gossiping word come out of your mouth about one of our leaders. I will not have it. If I hear it, I'm going to say something. And I'll be honest with you. I can be a little bit forward. I'm not like Dave. Dave is sarcastic. Okay? He'll be sarcastic about it, but I'll be a little bit more direct. And sometimes I have to temper that. That's why I like to think a little bit before I say anything. But let not a word of discouragement come out of your mouth before for our leaders. You know, we need to encourage them, and I'm insisting upon that because I know that that might have been a problem in the past. I don't know, but I want to make sure that it's not a problem in the future. So that's your lesson for today. Let your words guide you and lead you in the cause of Christ. Do what you can to win a soul for Christ. I want you to start bringing some people here. Establish those relationships that you already got established, and you know that their souls are tender. Bring them out here. Let's teach them the gospel of Christ. Because once they learn the gospel of Christ and become a member of this family, they ain't going nowhere. Because we can give them all the love, more love than they can handle. Won't you come if you have a request, if you'd like to obey the gospel, if you haven't done so already, if you need prayer, whatever you need, come. While we stand and while we sing.